Would everyone in the Senate chambers, as well as our guests in the upper gallery, please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
In the letter to Romans, we hear, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Lord God, we gather with the need to set our minds on two different accomplishments this day that are required of us. As we shift from one to the other, may we be flexible and thoughtful so our work is mindful of what is truly needed, and that you will give us the gifts to provide that which is most helpful for us this day as we seek to work together. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Serpoy, Crawford, Igel, Esslinger, Gannon, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Lucht-Meyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Riddle, Rizzo, Roberts, Rowden, Schatz, Shoup, Thompson Rader, Washington, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Platt. Senator from Green. Senator from the 8th is present. The senator from the 15th district. Is here. A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session for veto session. Madam Secretary, please read the journal. Senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment to the journal. I will send it forward. It ends in 01I. It has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of its reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver of the reading shall be granted. You've sent your amendment forward. Senator, would you care to move for the adoption, and feel free to explain it?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do. So this is the amendment that is similar to the one I did the other day. Senator from the 5th. We're a little rusty. Senator from the 5th.
Senator from the 11th, your intentions are great with the amendment, but we do not use other senators' names, only their district they're from.
My deepest apologies, Mr. President. Senator from the 5th is unable to be here with us this session due to his military exercises, and they did not contact the secretaries office to let them know absent with leave, so I just want to amend the journal to make sure that it is reflected that the senator from the 5th is doing his military exercises this week and last week in the veto session journal. So that's all this does is reflects that. With that, Mr. President, I close.
And would you haven't been recognized to close
oh,
yet.
Oh, with that Mr. President, great. I ask for its adoption.
You ask for its adoption. You've heard the motion from the senator of the 11th district of adopting amendment number 1 to the journal. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from the 11th, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now close.
The senator from the 11th renews his motion that Senate Amendment number 1 to the journal be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the amendment. Madam Secretary, please read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, 101st General Assembly of the State of Missouri, second regular session, veto session, first day, Wednesday, September 14th, 2022.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as it hasn't been fully read.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone County renews his motion that the reading of the journal from September the 14th be suspended, but he be approved as though having been fully read as amended. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have approved the September 14th veto session journal. Senator from Boone. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, Kermit Miller from KRCG and Emily Manley from the Nexstar Media Group have been granted access to take video in the chamber today.
Thank you, Senator.
President.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the House, and if so, I ask that they be read.
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Resolution Number 1. House Resolution Number 1, be it resolved that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives of the 101st General Assembly, second regular session, inform the Governor and the Senate that the House is duly convened and is now in session in the 2022 Constitutional veto session and ready for consideration of business. Respectfully submitted, Dana Rodeman Miller, Chief Clerk.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate proceed to the order of business of vetoed bills and that the calendar be called.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be vetoed bills. Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 724. Senator from Lawrence.
President, I'd like to bring the body's attention Article 3, Section 32, when it states that every bill presented to the governor and returned with his objection shall stand as reconsidered in the House to which it is returned. I believe you just called up Senate Bill 724. The objections of the governor shall be entered upon the journal, and the House shall proceed to consider the question pending, which shall be in this form. Shall the bill pass, the objections of the governor thereto notwithstanding? And the vote upon this question shall be taken by yeas and nays. So I'm hopeful that the body will concur and agree with Article 3, Section 32 of the Missouri Constitution and proceed to take a vote. On this particular bill, I think it had to do with county procedures. And so I don't know that it would be overridden. I don't suspect it would be, but I think we are bound by the Constitution to take the vote nonetheless. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The bill has been called to be brought up. Senator from Lawrence.
Anyone rising, but I think the Constitution has risen above us as well. I think the question is on the table. So I think that the clerk should call the roll.
Senator, it needs to be, a motion needs to be made to bring the bill before the body. That has not
then
happened yet.
I'd like to make that motion.
The Senator from Lawrence moves that Senate substitute, Senate Committee substitute, Senate Bill 724 be brought up for a veto override. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The noes appear to have it. Senator from Lawrence. Senator from Lawrence has requested a standing division. Senator, you need another member standing. You have one in the back standing. Thank you. Sergeant of Arms, please call the roll for a standing division. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Lawrence. I'm putting the training wheels back on here.
I'm sorry.
The motion before the body needs to be that you would like the bill to be brought up for a veto override. Not the bill, not the typical way we bring a bill before the body. Your motion would be to override the veto. Is that the motion you'd like to amend and say in the journal?
That is the motion.
Okay, so the Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to have make a point of order that traditions in the Senate would be, and practices and traditions of the Senate say that the sponsor of the bill are the ones to make the motion to bring a bill up for a veto override. Senator from Lawrence is not the sponsor of the bill. I happen to be the sponsor of the bill, and I've not made that motion. So practices and traditions of the Senate would dictate that the sponsor is the one to make that motion.
Your point of order will be referred to the President pro tem of the Senate. Does any senator desire to be heard on the point of order? Senator from Lawrence.
I would like to speak on the point, and the point is, I think, similar one that I made last year, September 17, I believe was the date, when what actually is the authority that we're following? Is it Senate tradition? Is it Senate rules, or is it the Constitution? The Constitution, I believe, takes precedent in this particular situation when, as I read it, it has nothing to do with the sponsor of the bill. Now, I think that this particular bill, whether the bill was vetoed or not, and it was in this case, I don't think the veto would be overridden. In fact, I would stand today and say right now that I would probably not vote to override it, but I think it's incumbent upon us to follow the rules that we have before us. The Constitution, I think, is clearly the higher authority. And so I would appeal to the President pro tem to rule against the point of order.
Further discussion on the point of order? Senator from Andrew.
Speaking on the point of order.
Proceed.
Thank you. You know, I know we've run through a lot of the Senate traditions through the shredder these past few years. It's always been a precedent that only the bill sponsor is allowed to make the override motion on a bill that they have sponsored. While I recognize the bill is now the Senate's bill, one must also recognize that every bill in the Senate has a sponsor that carries it, that shepherds it through the process. Under the logic from the Senator Lawrence, the pro tem should be the one to make the motion, as he is the leader of the Senate, since the Senate is in the possession of the bill. In the past, if someone is going to make a motion on a final action on a motion of a bill that was not their own, or even bring up a bill before the body, a letter would be sent giving them permission from the sponsoring senator. As a sponsoring senator of this legislation, and in this case, I have sent no such letter.
Further discussion on the point of order. Senator from Lawrence.
I understand what the senator from Andrew was stating, and I agree with portions of that. I think, though, that in this case, once a bill has been passed by this body, it's no longer in the possession of that particular member. In this case, it went to the governor. He decided to rule against it. This bill comes back now as a part of the body. We pass it as each individual 34 members. I'm not sure what the vote count was, but in either case, it's no longer in the possession of that particular member. And so I would argue that whether the President pro tem makes the motion to override, I still believe that the Constitution is clear, the question is on the table. We just need to now take the time to vote yay or nay.
Further discussion, Senator from the Second.
President, to speak on the point of order.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senator from Andrew, in his point of order, invokes this idea of, quote, traditions and practices of the Senate. Let's talk about traditions and practices of the Senate. When I file a bill, that initial bill has on the top of it my name. Senator from the Second. But the moment there is a committee substitute, a floor substitute, a House committee substitute, a House perfected version, a House third read version, no longer has my name on it. No longer has my name on it. I may continue to be the handler of that bill, but the bill belongs at that moment the committee, to the House, to the floor of the Senate, and then it gets dealt with by the floor of the House, the committee of the House, ultimately by the governor. No, the senator from Andrew brings before us today a very clear question. What trumps the other? Some amorphous, self-serving interpretation of the traditions of the Senate or the Constitution of the state of Missouri? I happen to be one of a handful of members of this body who went to law school, has a law degree, a law license. I remember there was one course in law school called Conflict of Laws. You know, sometimes you have to decide what governs, a law of the United States, a treaty of the United States, a regulation versus a treaty, a state versus federal law, local versus state, state reg versus state statute, and so on. Conflicts of law. Sometimes those questions are very difficult and very thorny. I will confess to you, it was one of the more difficult courses in law school when I attended. But this ain't difficult. You have something that's not a law at all. It's not even a Senate rule. It's a tradition of the body versus the clear language of the Constitution of the state of Missouri. So I ask that this point of order be ruled not well taken.
Further discussion on the point of order. Senator from Cass.
May I briefly inquire of you?
State your inquiry.
In terms of ruling on a tradition, we currently have a rule book in which you preside and you make rulings in accordance to a rule book. We're all issued, correct? I guess this is my inquiry. We have a rule book and you make rulings on a rules that are set forth in the Senate chamber. But do we have a tradition manual as well that we're able to scrutinize as a member of this body?
You know, Senator, that's been asked many times. I have not seen such a written book.
Right. So how are we able to make a point of order in which we don't have a standard, like we have a standard rule book in which we are as individual senators to make points of order in regards to how we make those rulings of a rule book? How do we do that with a tradition of which we don't have a manual in which, you know, to make that sort of determination as an individual member of this body? That's where I guess I'm puzzled at how we're making points of order on traditions and how we make those rulings.
I believe, Senator, that leadership is trying to work with clearing those issues up.
Okay. Because that's where, moving forward, you know, I want to be a functional member of this body, but how am I supposed to be a functional member of this body when I don't have something that I can look and scrutinize and make sure that I'm acting in accordance to a tradition, to a rule, to the Constitution, to statute, so on and so forth? How am I to do that if I don't have something printed in front of me and be able to do that objectively as a member?
Understood.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the inquiry, and that's where, just to speak briefly on the point of order.
Sure, proceed.
This is where, as a member of this body, you know, this isn't a right versus left or conservative versus whatever. This is, you know, what I have as a member of the Senate to govern and to hold people accountable in what they're doing on this floor. And we put forth objections to the chair for tradition. I don't have anything in front of me As a two-year member of this body, I don't know what the tradition of the Senate is, so if we could please print up a manual of traditions of this Senate in order to make these sort of rulings. But until then, making rulings and making points of order to a tradition that is just something that anybody can pull out of thin air and say that they've been doing since they've been in this chamber, I think is a disservice to any new member or any member of this body. So we either have a rule book, tradition book that we're all going to be issued, or we're not going to make rulings in accordance to traditions of the Senate. I mean, if we're going to be a body, a deliberative body, we have to have a set of rules, standards that we all are able to govern this body with. And not just because we don't like what's being thrown out on this floor. I wouldn't vote to override 724 because it has some stuff in there I didn't much care for. So it's not the actual substance of the override motion. It's the fact that we're making these motions on really flimsy ground that I as a senator can't set a standard to, because we don't have a standard in which to set it upon. So I hope this body moving forward, if we're going to make rulings in regards to tradition, then we need to set forth a tradition manual so I can actually scrutinize those traditions of this body. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President, to rule on a point of order.
Proceed.
Mr. President, Senator Lawrence has referred to Section 32 of the Constitution, veto bills reconsidered when? I believe the position that we have on this particular point of order, that it says that every bill presented to the governor returned with his objections shall stand reconsidered to the House which it was returned. When that motion is made, when that bill is called, I believe that satisfies the requirement for that bill to be reconsidered. When no motion is made by the bill sponsor to bring it before the body, that in itself satisfies this constitutional requirement. Now, the fact that it is the Senate's longstanding procedure for vetoed bills, it requires the sponsor of the bill to make a motion to override the governor's veto, is also something we consider. Senator from Lawrence is not the sponsor of the vetoed bill, and as such may not make the motion to override the governor's veto. That is the longstanding tradition. But I also believe that we have met the constitutional requirement by bringing it before the body, and the choice not to bring it up to override that veto was made by the bill sponsor. Therefore, the point of order is well taken. The motion from Senator Lawrence is not in order. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Lawrence.
I was reading over Article 3, Section 32. May I speak on the motion, the point or the decision by the President pro tem?
You may inquire of another senator to speak on the point.
May I speak with the, inquire the senator from Franklin, please.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I hate to be a stick in the mud on this. I know where you're coming from. I don't agree where you're coming from. And particularly, I don't agree because of our interpretation of Article 3, Section 32. It says nothing in that section about the bill sponsor being required to make the motion to override.
It does. I would concur. It doesn't say that.
But you mentioned Senate tradition again.
No, I said in addition to what I believe the Constitution requires, it is a longstanding Senate tradition. So that is in addition to what I believe we've met the constitutional obligation. So I'm not basing that solely on the fact that it's Senate tradition, but it is the longstanding tradition of the Senate that the bill sponsor has control of that bill. And the senator from the second obviously referred to the fact that whenever a bill gets a committee substitute or is sent somewhere else and then we get a House substitute, that individual is still in charge of that legislation and could make the determination to ever bring that back before the body to make any motion on that bill moving forward once it's modified, changed, or whatever. And so he is still in control of that. And that's been the longstanding tradition and something that we have not taken away from someone when they have the responsibility and control of their bill.
You said something interesting. When there are modifications to the bill, even in the form of a substitute, is that member still in control of that substitute bill?
Unless a floor substitute, but again, that individual is still in charge of that legislation. Even though a floor substitute
could be offered at that point.
Interesting. Well, again, I hope you know my intent, my heart in this. I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud.
I fully understand, but again, I don't think this particular question, what we're dealing with, I don't think it's ever been challenged. The way the Senate operates, I don't think has ever been before the Supreme Court of this state to make a determination that we've been doing it wrong for some however many years that we've been doing this.
Because it hasn't been challenged doesn't mean we're doing it wrong.
Well, maybe, Senator, maybe that should be the direction you go, and why
don't we try to settle it right here so that we can say, well, we read Article 3, Section 32. Well, you know what? Maybe we haven't been handling it correctly. Let's change that today.
Well,
so, Mr. President, I'd like to appeal the ruling of the chair.
Senator from Lawrence.
I'd like to appeal the ruling.
The senator from Lawrence. Senator from Franklin.
If I can get 5 minutes of standing, I'd request a roll call vote.
There's a motion for the body to appeal the ruling of the chair. The senator from Franklin has asked for a roll call vote. You have 5 members standing. The motion will be a voice vote. Sergeant of Arms, please summon the Missouri Senate. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Igel, Esslinger, Gannon, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Lueckemeyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Riddle, Rizzo,
no.
Roberts, Rowden,
no.
Schatz,
no.
Shoup,
no.
Thompson Rader, Washington,
no.
White,
no.
Whelan, Williams,
no.
Senator from Franklin. Madam Secretary, please call the absentees.
Senators Arthur, Beck, Bratton, Burleson, Igel, Razor, Roberts, Thompson Rader, Whelan.
Senator from the first votes no. By your vote of 2 aye and 26 nay, the motion fails. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions, and I'd ask that you recognize me for a resolution.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be resolution. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution. I'm sending it forward. And I would ask that it be read, and I would also move for its adoption.
Send your resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 3, be it resolved by the Senate that the Secretary of the Senate inform the House of Representatives that the Senate, having been duly convened as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution, made no motion to override the governor's veto for Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 724 when the bill was called by the President.
Senator from Boone, care to explain your resolution and move for its adoption.
Thank you, Mr. President. This resolution just tells the House that we did not take action on the one bill that we had before us for veto. They will be sending us a similar resolution, presumably sometime tomorrow. Be happy to answer any questions, and if not, would move for its adoption.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County on the adoption of Senate Resolution Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Lawrence.
May I inquire the Senator from Boone, please?
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I'm looking through your resolution number 3, and it reads here that the Senate made no motion.
That's correct.
That's interesting. I guess I'm not part of the Senate, right? I mean, I stood up here. I think you were in the chamber when I stood up and made the motion. I was overruled by Senate tradition, ultimately, by all the members except for one, including in addition to myself. I'm not one to take offense to a lot of things, but I take this as kind of a slap in the face. Unless you reword that to say a motion was not entertained, okay, I understand that, but there was a motion made. Do you not disagree with that?
Senator, this is a formality that we have done for the last 100 years.
This is going to be historical. I know, in 100 years, not going to matter. Yeah, it's not going to matter tomorrow, probably, because there's not many people paying attention to what we're doing. But it does matter, Senator. Everything we do matters. You're not going to change it. I'm not going to force you to, but I think we ought to do things properly. This is a slap in the face, though. Thank you.
Further discussion on the adoption of Senate Resolution Number 3? Seeing none, Senator from Boone, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Resolution Number 3 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Resolution Number 3. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Announcements?
Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. A quick announcement, just for the benefit of the body, as a reminder, we will be gaveling out of veto here shortly. We'll be gaveling into special session in about 15 minutes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, I'd like to make one more announcement.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just also for the benefit of the body, as it relates to this veto session, we will have to adjourn under the rules for veto until tomorrow so that we can get the House's resolution relative to their veto actions, which will happen tomorrow. So we will gavel back into veto tomorrow and then adjourn veto sine die tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements? Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business come before the body. I move that the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The veto session stands adjourned under the rules.